Hello, and welcome to this episode of Passionate About People. My name is Phil Dave. I'm a broadcaster who works in, amongst other things, mental health, technology, and an array of different subjects.
Hello, I'm Graham Godfrey, founder of Passionate About Business, and I work as a business mentor and positive mindset coach, and probably have the best job in the world. I'm a radio show host on secondcityradio.net. And do you know what, Phil? I love this podcast with a passion. I think we're so lucky to be doing this, meeting fascinating and interesting people.
Well, I'm pleased you said that, because there absolutely is no exception to that rule on this episode, because we are joined by Jag and Nirali Mankodi, who are the founders of Superfoodio.
Hi, I'm Jag.
And I'm Nirali.
And you are both very welcome. I think the first thing we need to establish, though, we cannot take for granted that the person listening to this knows what Superfoodio is or indeed does. So would one of you be so kind as to explain yourselves?
Yeah, Superfoodio, we're a plant-based business that's passionate about creating treats for pleasure, planet and the people. So it's a backpacking adventure that turned into a mission-led business.
So what happened? You were in the UK. What did you do? Decide to go? You went on holiday, on an adventure. What was behind it? How did it all happen?
We're both from sort of a corporate background, working in central London, and we decided to press pause on our roles basically and go traveling. And South America was one place that neither of us had been to. And we had a good amount of time. We had 4 or 5 months. So we decided that actually it would be the perfect place for us to sort of explore and take some time out, really.
Yeah, we decided to like really immerse ourselves in the culture while we're out there and kind of really learn a bit more than just like a week's holiday in a sunny place in Europe. Thought we'd commit to really learning about the culture, exploring the sights, sounds, and also, as we're both passionate foodies, tuck into some yummy food that's out there.
So hang on, so just so that I'm clear on this, that what you're saying is that you have created a business that has been totally and utterly inspired by the food and the culture that you discovered whilst on travels.
Yeah,
that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, so we're actually both, we've always been on a plant-based diet, like both of us and our family. So when we first, were booking our travels, one thing that we were a little bit concerned about, I guess, was what we'd get to eat out there. So our first stop was Argentina, which is, known as steak country. So we had one backpack full of our clothes and hiking boots and another one just full of, I guess, emergency snacks or foods just in case. We didn't want to be out there and sort of living off pizzas and pastas for 4 or 5 months. So that was one thing that we were really concerned about. And I guess, kind of thinking about, being away for that long. When we got out there, and by the virtue of being out there for so long, we got to immerse ourselves with the local culture and the local people, and actually discovered so much more about food that, it was that realization that, here we didn't actually have that knowledge of where food comes from or how it's grown. Whereas during our trip in South America, we got to do homestays with the locals. We got to help them on their quinoa farms. We got to actually see where quinoa is grown, how it's used in so many different ways. And that really opened our eyes to food, which we're passionate about anyway.
Can I just say, I didn't even know quinoa was grown. That's how much I knew.
This is what I'm trying to get into my mind, right? You're traveling around, you're looking at all of these places. What are you thinking about when it comes to your corporate jobs? Are you thinking, we don't want to do that anymore, we want to do something else? Or what's sort of going through your mind? Because it's quite a big thing to leave your jobs and go traveling.
Yes, that's a good question. So initially, I think that's the difference between like a 1 or 2 week holiday where you're barely getting to switch off. You're really kind of, sinking into this relaxed space. You're opening your mind up. And because we were away for such a long time, we really got to disconnect from the London sort of busy 9-to-5 type of lifestyle. And every day we were immersed in, we were walking between 10 and 15 kilometers a day in different kind of environments. And that's where the true kind of disconnect happens, where you forget about the stresses of city life and job and, oh, I got to make this to-do list. You're just really immersing yourself in this incredible environment and just getting back to basics. And I think that's the difference between a very short holiday where you kind of break your normal routine to really kind of unplugging and de-stressing and kind of being open to exploring new ideas that might come into your mind.
I just love the way that this was a case of one holiday that's ultimately completely changed the course of your lives. That's what I'm finding mind-blowing about this, is that if you, for whatever reason, it decides, I don't know, maybe go to the African continent or something like that, would this have ever panned out the way it has? And the answer is probably not. I find that amazing.
That's so true. I think this was definitely a life-changing sort of moment for us. And that's why we always sort of say it's a business that was inspired by a backpacking adventure, which it absolutely was, you know, and no way that we could have done this if this wasn't the path that we took.
So what was the, I mean, I can imagine, I mean, I don't eat meat, so I can imagine going to Argentina and thinking, what are we going to eat? But I can imagine sort of traveling and having that problem. So you're away. Was it when you were away or when you came back that you thought, okay, we've learnt a load of stuff, this is what we're going to do? How did you arrive at the idea of doing exactly what you're doing and what you wanted to sell? How did that happen?
I don't think we had the exact idea while we were traveling, but I think each place that we went to, so like we went to Brazil, for example, and it was really, really warm and everyone was serving acai bowls, which is like a really cold, refreshing snack or treat, which they have quite regularly out there. And we loved it. And we were just like, actually, you know, each place we went to, we went on to Bolivia and then we got to see quinoa and experience it in so many different ways. So, you know, when we said, oh, we're on a plant-based diet, people would give us sort of quinoa for breakfast, lunch, even snacks and dinner. We were just like, we've seen this product on a, say, a Waitrose shelf before we went traveling, but we've just never realized that you can do so much with it. And so I think as we were traveling around, it was those moments of realization. And, you know, by the end of the trip, we were like, we kind of have to do more with this than just come back and go back to our previous lives, I guess. And then that's where I guess we started formulating what Superfoodio could be, but taking everything that we'd learned along the way, I guess, in our travels.
But it doesn't sound like you were living necessarily an unhealthy lifestyle before. So I'm just wondering sort of what it was that you saw out there. I guess without sort of asking you to sit here and listing all your products, what I'd like to know is sort of what made the grade. You know, where did you go to that you said, that would make a great product that we're ultimately going to put into Superfoodio one day, and so on and so forth? Do you see what I mean? Because I know you said that the idea didn't necessarily manifest itself till you got back home, but there must have been bits and pieces that you saw along the way that made you think, right, that's what we're going to start selling. And I just wondered sort of what the thinking was behind the products.
Yeah, I guess what it actually all came down to was simplicity. One really, a term that resonated with us in South America was people called Earth Pachamama, which means Mother Earth. You know, they really respect the environment and sort of, you know, how they sort of got their rewards from the earth and sort of how to live off it in a sustainable manner. And that was more of an interesting lesson to learn, because you don't think about food in that way, where it grows, how it's sourced, how it's shared and distributed within the communities. They have barter systems still in some remote parts of South America where little tribes and groups exchange food. You know, there is no such thing as a currency. And that idea of respecting the earth and sort of thinking about food in a whole new way, and how simple food is, it's all about how we treat it. And that's sort of what inspired us, because looking back at our sort of corporate lives and sort of the food we were eating, kind of realized, you know, how big food industry is full of very ultra processed food. And that's what we've been conditioned to eat, and as if that is a normal thing. And we wanted to try and break that misconception, because that's the kind of lessons we learned during the travels, that actually food is simple, it can be pleasurable, it can fulfill your needs to fuel your body. As we were walking between 10 and 15 kilometers a day some days in quite different conditions, you know, mountain regions, even we were trekking on glaciers in Argentina. It was sort of like, actually, what we put into our body is so important that we need to focus on that. And that really was the sort of the driver behind the products that we ended up creating and launching.
Was the Glaciers where the frozen food section came from then?
Yeah. Phil. So that's a philism. That's called a philism. I loved what you said, because it really is about changing your thinking. And it really is about, I suppose, you know, when you're at the corporate life, you go into Waitrose or one of these supermarkets, it's all packed up in a plastic container. You're not allowed to stick it in a plastic bag, but you can buy it in a plastic container. I've got three children, and both my daughters are vegans. Obviously, I don't eat meat now. What you said about Mother Earth, it's so, you know, I actually got goosebumps when you said that, because we have to be grateful for the food that we have and how it's created. That was like a bolt hit me between the eyes when you said that. I think if we can change our thinking and then think about what the value of the food represents rather than what it costs, it's so important. But one thing I really want to ask you, I mean, I don't eat chocolate, which is another funnyism, really.
I'm sorry. What?
I know. I can't eat it. I'm too sensitive to chocolate, but my whole family love chocolate, right? And we had a dilemma in the Godfrey household. They couldn't choose between the chocolate peanut butter bars, the smooth or the crunchy. How was this idea created?
It was actually during the pandemic, funny enough. Initially, we had a range of nut-based products that we used to sort of sell in central London, and our stockers were in there. But obviously, due to lockdown, well, I guess we can call it 1.0, we had to kind of start to think on our feet, and kind of it gave us a chance to really take a step back, being in the business, to having a look at a sort of a holistic point of view, you know, where we want to grow, what our customers have been asking for, and sort of really taking a step back and saying, okay, what else can we do and bring joy to people's life? And that was where we started. And the idea between the smooth and crunchy peanut butter flavors is that people are really passionate about, you know, whether they like their peanut butter crunchy or smooth. And we were like, well, we'd love to offer something that you can win for all peanut butter lovers. And that was the sort of the inspiration behind, let's create a chocolate unlike any other chocolate that's ever been made with that combination in a really simple way, using only 5 ingredients, which is just peanuts, cacao mass, coconut sugar, and a little bit of sea salt. And that was where we started, you know, no palm oil, no nasty additives, preservatives, etc., which you'd find in most of the other products, was the sort of challenge we set ourselves, saying, hey, how can we innovate using our ethos of plant-based and simplicity to bring innovation in a category that is full of junk?
This whole notion of let's go back to basic seems like it's only just being rediscovered, when actually we all know, those of us who take food seriously have to know, that preservatives and other nonsense that's put into food that is readily available through vending machines and heaven knows what other methods, it's just rubbish. And why do we willingly eat this? That's what blows my mind. It's why on earth would we say, that looks a delicious looking E number, yummy. Ugh.
I can tell you why we eat it, because I was a big fan of it. Is because we've been conditioned to eat it, and in most cases you don't even realize you're doing it. And when I stopped eating chocolate, I remember going to the petrol station, walked into the petrol station, I thought, I actually can't eat hardly anything that's in here. And when you go into the shop, it's filled with sweets, chocolates, fizzy drinks. It's filled with crap. And we walk in and we're conditioned to see that. And we think, you know, it's positioned right by the counter, you know, and you think, oh, I'll have that. And you eat it, and in 30 seconds, it's gone. You don't even realize you've eaten it. I think it is about changing your thinking and looking at ways in which you can fill your body with healthy, nutritional, lovely things to eat.
Absolutely. And I think that's sort of what we baked into the brand from day one. So even our name is, there's quite an interesting story behind how we came up with the name Superfoodio. Yes, it's fun to say, and it kind of like a interesting mashup of words that exist. But it was sort of like tipping the hat to these incredible superfoods we discovered out in South America. And by superfood, we don't mean any sort of magical potions or ingredients that's going to go your muscles, you know, 10 times faster, etc. It's just that every food is a superfood, you know. It's a gift from the earth and it has nutritional value. Even a potato has incredible nutritional value. It just depends on how we treat it. You know, if it's deep fried in batter, probably not as good for you, but a baked potato with some salad, etc., and a nutritionally balanced meal, fantastic meal. And so that's where the word superfood comes from. And the I-O part of the word is input and output. Now, my background is in technology where, you know, everything like a keyboard is considered as an input device, a printer is an output device. And how much does that relate to food? What you put into your body is what you can get out of it. And that's where the word superfoodio came to life. It just felt right.
I thought it was an Italian twist. I thought superfoodio. I didn't realise it was the I and the O, but see?
As a fellow tech head, I love that. Well done. Good work. But don't you think that the truth is that when it comes to words such as nutrition or nutritious, that it's almost... they are scary words. People think, oh, that's going to cost me a fortune. I can't be doing with that. I'm just going to stick to what I know, which is cheap and cheerful. But yeah, actually, what I find staggering is that if you look at, say, the cost of a piece of fruit, for example, you're going to actually, it's a good trick. I know this doesn't necessarily help superfoodio that much, but if people go to, say, local fruit mongers, then actually, I normally find the cost of the fruit and veg in there is not actually that expensive. And this is what I find so bizarre, is that we're almost sort of tricked into thinking that these nasty little crisp packets or stuff like that, because they are seemingly good value, are somehow going to be more nourishing. It's just, our attitude towards food is so, so wrong.
I think it is a part of that conditioning, like you mentioned, and that's what we discovered, like, you know, it is going back to those basics. So, yeah, perfect example with fruit and veg actually is affordable, it is nutritious, and it's something that everyone can incorporate in their diets.
Yeah, it's just about inspiring things like recipes or, you know, in like the bars, I guess, why we launched a chocolate bar instead of anything else is because it's a familiar format, but with a value add proposition. It is taking out things like refined sugars and palm oils and adding things like protein into your chocolate bar. I mean, if you could get your protein from a chocolate versus a very chemically tasting protein bar, I think most people might choose the chocolate as a treat, which I think is the key, you know. As long as it tastes good but does good, that's that winning combination that we're looking to try and achieve with everything we do.
I think you're very brave to come out of a corporate environment and start your own business. And we do like to talk a little bit about business on this podcast. So you've left your jobs, you've gone traveling, you've come back, you've started your own business. It's going to take some investment. It takes money and time. And as a coach, I understand and help people through that whole journey. And it's, you know, it's fraught with danger sometimes. What's it been like running your own business and building something? Because there's no guarantees. It might happen. It might not happen. Compared to working in a corporate environment, what do you think the key challenges and differences are for you?
One thing I always remember is when we first sort of came back from South America, and one of our sort of mentors now, he's always been in business, and he said to us, like, you know, running your own business is like a roller coaster. Like, one minute you're sort of up there on a high, you know, you got into the store that you want or whatever it might be, and then the next day something will happen, it will bring you right back down. But over time, those highs and lows start to level out a little bit. You kind of get a little bit, I guess, conditioned or used to that sort of ups and downs. And I think that's probably one of the biggest sort of changes from sort of that corporate world, and also that sort of the responsibility. I think that passion to really make something work is very different to, I think, something that I felt before we went traveling, after starting our own business. I think that drive has always been there constantly. It's sort of never gone away, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess for us, if it wasn't for a food business, I don't know if we would have ever started a business. It just, because we're so passionate about food. And it's a bit of a cliche in a sense that, you know, follow your passion, but it's so true, because the times where it gets really tough and you begin to say, why am I doing this? It's actually something you can kind of go back to and kind of know why you're doing this. Knowing the why is so important, and it all links back to what drives you. And for us, that is about enabling people to make better choices without any sacrifices in tastes or flavors, which has sort of been that case in this industry as such, isn't it?
How much would you say that your clients are integral to the development of the business? Because one would assume it's not just the two of you who try the products and think, this will do, and then off it goes. I'm guessing you have to get some sort of feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think feedback is probably the most important thing and has shaped our sort of journey or what we do next. So even with the bars, like as Jag said, it was listening to what people were looking for last year during the pandemic and, you know, what their lifestyles were like. We couldn't go out as much and people wanted that sort of healthy indulgence as well. So I think it's such an important part and something that we can't forget to keep listening to our sort of customers, I guess.
Just going back to the corporate thing again. What did you do? What were your jobs?
Well, my background was in IT. So I was working with, well, the last role I left was I was working with ITV as a product manager. So, you know, the ITV player app that's on your mobile phone, I was helping sort of build the technology that enables people to enjoy, you know, whatever shows they're into on devices that they have.
So my background's in corporate psychology. So my last role was with Vodafone and I was working in the sort of leadership and learning and development team, which works with managers within the business to sort of help them be the best version, I guess, within the business. So yeah, very different to food, I guess.
That actually must have made the decision even more difficult to walk away from. You know, you're clearly both very successful people before this. It must have been one heck of a leap of faith.
I think when we went traveling, we didn't know we were going to come back and start a business. So I guess that leap was sort of to pause the corporate life, which I think is difficult in itself as well, because it's comfortable. It's comfortable to keep going in that way. But I think we were both naturally coming to the end of the roles that we were doing at that time. And that's why we decided to press pause and take that leap. And then the business sort of, that kind of came up by the end of our travels that we wanted to come back to. So it was scary, but I think it was just sort of one step at a time. We didn't sort of leave thinking, okay, we're going to go traveling and then start a business. It just sort of happened as we went along.
And it's really interesting because I feel like a lot of the lessons and the good things that we learned in our corporate lives, we're able to sort of apply them into a food startup. So say my technology background or sort of seeing that what it actually takes to roll out a new product or launch something into the market or the type of considerations on website technology or the back end that we should be using. All those lessons learned, I can like luckily tap into my network of people I used to work with saying, hey, can I grab your advice on this? Or do you mind if you could help me out? I can, you know, give you a few chocolate bars if you don't mind testing whatever I'm working on online. Whereas Nirali's sort of psychology background sort of helped us carve out the proposition, things like packaging, the language that we need to use to communicate the message that we're trying to share with our customers was sort of really key, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So I think that there's elements that we've brought on board with the business, but learned so much more. I think it's been an accelerated learning since we launched.
Well, I think it's been amazing to meet you. I've been in business over 35 years. It's a wonderful thing to do. My claim to fame was that I haven't had a guaranteed salary since October 1989. So that means that you need to be creative and you need to use what you've got inside and allow it to come out. And I think it's amazing that you've been on this journey. You've given up your corporate jobs and you're sharing with the world what you have inside. And that can only be for the greater benefit of everybody else. I've really, really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to share our story and journey. And hopefully it inspires other people out there to follow or take that leap themselves. Because I think we have learned so much from other people in the industry who are probably a few steps ahead of us. And only when we share and exchange thoughts, ideas, feedback, and experiences can we all grow together.
Just finally, if anyone wants any more information about you two, about Superfoodio, where do they go?
Our website is superfoodio.com, and we're also on social media such as Instagram, Facebook. Our handle is @superfoodio. And yeah, in terms of getting in touch with us, we're also quite active on LinkedIn as well.
So you can contact me on my email at gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk. You can contact my website, which is passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk. And also, if you go on to secondcityradio.net, 2nd, cityradio.net, look up Nobby's Feel Good Radio Show. And I play a live jazz, funk and soul show every Monday night from 9 till 11.
And if for whatever ridiculous reason you want to get in touch with me, you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave. Nirali and Jag Mankodi, founders of Superfoodio, thank you very much indeed for speaking to Graham Godfrey and me, Phil Dave, on this episode of Passionate About People.
Thank you very much, both.
And please do remember to subscribe to this program in your podcast application. Until next time, goodbye.